Father, we thank you for your grace, for your love, for your mercy. We thank you for opportunity, Lord, to grow in you just because we want to, Lord. We thank you for life through Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we're able to worship you freely in this once great God-fearing nation, Lord. Even to the end, Lord, no one can take the love that we have for you in our hearts, no matter what, Father. No matter what comes, no one can stop our praise. No one can stop our praise, Lord. Whether it means life in abundance, or if it means, Lord, that we choose to die as martyrs, it doesn't matter, Father. No one can stop our praise. You said the day would come. You said it. You guaranteed it. Anyone that desires to live a holy life in you would suffer persecution. You said it, Jesus. We rejoice. There'll be a grace on us and a love in our hearts to love you so much that it doesn't matter what agony lies ahead. It doesn't matter. We'll be so saturated in your word, our hearts will be so much to you, Lord, that we'll count it an honor. We'll count it an absolute honor that we're counted worthy to see death in your name, Jesus. I praise you, Lord, and I give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Please don't get scared and think you're going to go home and die. It's a prophetic prayer. I won't keep you long tonight because I am starving. And Renee and Alex are buying me Chinese afterwards. Amen. Y'all can't say it like gay. Don't even try. How you say it in Creole? That's English, that ain't Creole. Amen. Do you know, now I'm gonna tell you some stuff tonight that's, you don't move. You gotta be tough, man. Don't be like him. When I say stop, that means stop. When I throw this and hit you across the head with it, that means stop. Excuse me? I'm going to tell you some stuff tonight that's going to alarm you. It shouldn't if you go to this church. That's such an understatement, the song that we sang, that there is power in the name of Jesus. That's such an understatement. Do you know that as born again, Holy Ghost filled believers, first of all, do you know that everyone in here has a calling from God? And listen to this, because this is not going to be your normal statement. Miss Barbara does, my son Quentin does, Gay, I do. Everybody here got a calling from God. And you know what? We are called to fulfill our calling. And you know what? Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, Jesus said this, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. All of us are called here for a ministry. Whether you don't see it right now, or whether you do, whether you're sinning or whether you're not, God has a plan for you. He has an absolute 100% plan for you. And you know what? Not one person in the kingdom of God, not one, I don't care what, well, I can't say your pastor tells you because all everybody here goes to this church. Everyone here is called to fulfill their ministry. Not one person is called here to be killed in a car accident, to die of AIDS, to die in a car accident. Not one person here is called to be murdered. When we fulfill our ministry in God, then we are to go home. You're not called to die a violent death. That's not a biblical thing unless you're facing judgment. But I'm not even going to go into that. You're called to fulfill your ministry in God. How do you know? Because Jesus fulfilled his ministry in God in his humanity. As a human being, he fulfilled his ministry. Well, Pastor Homer, they crucified him. I thought because he had finished with God. You know, Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. For this reason, he was born. Do you know that on several occasions throughout the Gospels, Jesus one time was led to a cliff as they wanted to push him off the cliff to kill him. You know what he did? As they took him to the edge of the city, they took him, they say this is a cliff that's 30 feet down. They pushed him to the edge of the city to a cliff to kill him. You know what he did? He walked right through the crowd. You know why? Because his hour had not yet come. Do you know that throughout the Gospel of John, it's recorded many times that the Jews wanted to kill him, but they didn't have the authority to kill him because Jesus knew his authority in God the Father. When Jesus finished his ministry in the Father, then it was fulfilled. Then he went home. I'm not called to die of sugar diabetes. I'm not called to die of cancer. I'm not called to die of any damnable disease. I'm called to fulfill my ministry in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When I go home, I should go home one of two ways. I should go home in my sleep, or I should go home a martyr. A martyr is one that chooses to die for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not to go home in a car accident. That's not in the kingdom of God. There are no car accidents in God's kingdom. There is no murder in God's kingdom. The only murder that took place was the one that Jesus allowed to be. He partook of it. We're all called to fulfill our ministry in the name of Jesus. Do you know that we got the power? If somebody came up here, now I'm trying to relay a message to you that you are called. And if you know your authority in heaven, you don't have to die, or you can fulfill your life in Jesus Christ. Do you know if you know who you are in God, and somebody goes to you point blank to your face and pulls a gun to your head, if you know your authority in Jesus, come here, Alex, real quick, point a gun to my head, point it to my head. You know, okay, hold on, stay right there. Uh-oh. You know what I had before church? I had my shoes on backwards. Alex had to remind me. I knew I felt uncomfortable. My feet were all like this. For real, true story. Thank God for Alex. What I'm trying to establish here, there's ever no need to live in fear of dying early if you know who you are in Jesus. If I knew who I was in Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I could stand here facing death. And I could laugh at him and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. Because murder is of the kingdom of darkness. Satan heads the kingdom of darkness. Jesus has power over Satan's kingdom. Jesus gives me his authority to block Satan's assignment. So Satan comes at me, tries to end my life premature. Go ahead. I can look at him and laugh and say, in Jesus' name, I rebuke you. And that assignment can be broken if we know our authority in Jesus Christ. We do not have to leave this earth premature. That does not exist in God's kingdom. But many that go home early, many Christians that go home early because they didn't know who they were in God. Jesus knew who he was in God, and he went home, or he was murdered at the last minute, because for that reason, he came into this world. He knew his authority in God the Father. And he said, it is finished. Basically, Lord, what you sent me to do, I have fulfilled. They can have their way with me now. One was murdered so we would be justified. We don't have to be murdered anymore for society to be justified. Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of this world. We can live till 95 or till 80 or whenever. When our ministry is done in God, then we go home. I have the authority in the name of Jesus to keep somebody from breaking in to my house and molesting my children. In Jesus' name, Satan, I block every single assignment that you have towards my children. If I know who I am and I have that authority, that assignment is broken in the name of Jesus. It's a biblical thing. It's Jesus talk is crazy talk. It don't make no sense to the natural mind. But we're not natural minded people. We're spiritually minded people, according to the book of Romans. Grasp that, please. If you know who you are in Jesus, and if you're living according to the ways of the kingdom, my God, you can live till you're done fulfilling his word in society. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. We can be so effective for the kingdom of God if we just know who we are in him. We never need walk in fear. Never need. So if I died a year from now, not fulfilling my call in Jesus, if I died of diabetes, just because I died of diabetes does not mean that that was the will of my Father. That just meant that I didn't take care of myself and I didn't know who I was in God. Don't let preachers or teachers or aunties or mamas and daddies tell you different. There is power in the name of Jesus. As a human being, they tried to kill him on several occasions, but they couldn't because his time was not yet. They tried to kill him time and time again, but they couldn't because his ministry was not fulfilled yet. My ministry has not been fulfilled. Satan doesn't have the power to kill me. If he kills me, it's because I didn't know who I was in Jesus Christ. Know that as a Christian. You don't have to live in fear. Now, you're going to live in fear as a Christian if you're living according to the ways of the world. Yeah, you have no power whatsoever over him. On the contrary, he has power over you. We must live our lives holy and undefiled in God. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. Guess who's not in the world anymore? Who isn't here anymore? Jesus. So who is the light of this world now? Me and you. You know what amazes me about Jesus? I'm not going to preach long tonight because I really am hungry. Newsflash, right? Homer's hungry. You know what amazes me about Jesus? And I taught it Wednesday night. You know how we can pray for somebody that they would know Jesus? We spend 15, 20, 30 years praying for a sinner. Oh, Lord, I ask you for it so well. Jesus. You know, we pray and we pray and we pray. And we should. I'm not mocking that. That's not what I'm mocking. Oh, souls, Jesus, give me souls. Souls or I'll die. You know that the amazing thing about Jesus is he was led up to Calvary to be crucified, to be murdered with two other men. You know what the amazing thing about, this is what God the Father's after. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. He proved it till the very last breath that he took. Listen carefully now. Here's Jesus being crucified. One on the left, one on the right. Both of them were sinners. Both of them. This is the effect that he wants me and you to have on society. Now, though, the one on his left, the one on his right, they heard the accusations that they were bringing upon Jesus. They heard the Roman soldiers mock him, the Jewish leaders. They heard them mocking Jesus. He was spit upon. Iron was penetrated his wrist. Iron penetrated his feet. He received of the Jews the 39 lashes on his back. Basically, when they crucified him, listen carefully. What's it called? The cat of what is it? The whip? What is it called, Gay? What is it? The cat of tails. Basically, it was a whip. From what I heard, it had chunks of rock in the whip. And he received the mark of the Jews, the 40 minus 1, 39 times. And as, listen to this, now I beg you. Basically, iron pierced his feet. They basically got a hammer or whatever they use and pounded iron through his feet. They physically got iron or nails or whatever they use and they penetrated his wrist or his hand. I don't know. But before that, they got the cat tails or the whatever it's called, a whip that had chunks of razor sharp rocks in it. And every time they hit his back, the whip would stick in his back, and as they pulled it out, chunks of meat would come out. 39 times. I remember when Quint was a little boy, he ain't little no more. I used to spank him. But he had them project smarts in him. Quint, come here. I used to live at the middle school with him because he was always in trouble. And I used to beat him. But lo and behold, when I used to beat him, he wouldn't cry. God almighty, my hand would hurt from hitting him so hard. Did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt. But he was mocking me. Little did I notice that he has street smarts. He knew he was good. See, because I never beat my kids when I was mad. That's not the time to spank your kids because you'll go crazy on them. But little did I know afterwards that he would wear like 3 or 4 pair of shorts. And it would never hurt him. Levi, corduroy shorts. His butt went from this to this with them big old shorts he had on. And it never hurt him. Jesus had nothing on his back. It was bare. 39 times they took that whip, put it in his back, pulled it out hard, and chunks of meat would come out of his back. And even through all that process, he never cussed one time. He never complained. He never looked up to God and said, God, I served you so faithfully. How dare you repay me like this? God, I hate you and I renounce you today. I lived a life holy and conducive to revival and you pay me back like this. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He didn't blame the church for forsaking him. He didn't blame his brothers and sisters for forsaking him, for denying him. He endured it and took it like a man. He took agony, he took pain, and endured it like a man. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. Meaning, he was not going to be moved by a natural circumstance. Think about it. Physically battered, bruised, and beaten to a pulp. And not one little cuss word? One on his left, one on his right. They knew what Jesus went through. They heard the mockery, how they mocked Jesus on Calvary. They heard the insults. You are the king of the Jews. You're going to save you want to save society? Save yourself if you are the king of the Jews. How he was punched, battered, and bruised and never, ever offered a complaint. Here he is hanging on the cross as the sinner was still penetrating his body with a crown of thorns pushed down into his skull and into his brain, his back looking like shredded hamburger meat, but he never, ever once complained. You know what? The one on the left and the one on the right were there to witness that this man never complained. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world, meaning he never had a bad day. He never used the excuse, I'm only human. Such an awesome testimony that he had. A testimony full of power. A testimony full of endurance, a testimony full of God as he stood there as a sinner with steel penetrating his body, crown of thorns piercing his brow, his back like hamburger meat. He was punched, he was spit upon, and never, ever, 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 never, ever offered a complaint. Sort of sounds like my life and your life, right? We never complain about things that happen in the natural. We never complain, right? I want to kill myself. My girlfriend cheated on me. You sissy. My boyfriend left me for another guy. Oh my God. You sissy. I didn't pay my light bill this month because I just didn't have enough money. You panty waste. I missed my car payment. I don't know what I'm going to do with this pressure from the world. Oh, my God, we don't have a clue. I went to church this morning, Pastor Homer, and I'm switching churches because you didn't say hi to me. You sissy. Well, let me introduce to you a man named Jesus Christ. Let me introduce to you a man named Jesus Christ. Steel through his feet, steel through his hands, crown of thorns pressed down on his head or brain, back shredded, pain and agony, not one complaint. Yet, a sinner on the right, a sinner on the left. Here Jesus says, look at me, guys, listen to me, look at me, I beg you. I'm not a boring preacher, I'll brag on myself to that extent. If you find me boring, then there's no hope for you. Really. Yet the one on the right, the one on the left, hear these remarkable words as this man is here in excruciating pain, as this man was steel in his arms and his hands, was steel in his feet, with a crown of thorns pressed down on his brow, with a back shredded with blood running over. Yet, it's one on the right, it's one on the left. They hear what the mockings of Jesus Christ. They see the pain and agony of Jesus Christ. And yet they hear these remarkable words from this man that claimed that he was the Son of God. In pain and agony. What would you have done, Pastor? That would have been you. I might have been cussing. You wouldn't have, though, right? Of course not. But yet, hear these sinners, along with those around Jesus, Roman soldiers. See, talk is real cheap. The body of Christ is full of talk. But Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. In his agony, listen to me, in his pain, the darkest hour of his life, he doesn't sell out his testimony. He doesn't sell out to a trial or a tribulation, but he sells out to God the Father. In pain and agony, knowing that hell awaits him, the penalty to dying without being born again. Days of hell await him. Agony await. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, and he died, that was just the beginning of his little vacation in hell. Jesus suffered as a sinner in hell. For who? For me and for you. If he suffered in hell as a sinner, then that means what? I don't have to, because he paid the price. But here he is in pain and agony. The one that said in the book of John chapter 9, as long as I am in the world, he said, I am the light of this world. If we cut off the lights in here and leave that one light on, you're going to see it. Because light shines in the what? Darkness. Jesus said, boys, I shine in darkness. As long as I am in this world, I am the light of this world. You're going to know that I belong to the kingdom of God. So here are criminals on the right, a criminals on the left, and royalty. The Son of God, God Almighty in the flesh, is there being crucified as a sinner, steel through his feet, steel through his hands, a shattered back, thorns down his brow, 2 days of hell, 2.5 days, 3 days of hell waiting for him, agony in hell with Satan mocking him in hell. But here, listen to this, grasp it. But here is Jesus, our perfect prototype. He begins to pray for the people. He begins to intercede for the people. The one on the right, the one on the left, they heard what he said. Here he is, you know. His lungs were collapsed as the weight of his body. His lungs were just so collapsed, he could barely breathe, grasping for air. Blood everywhere. The cross probably didn't look brown, it probably looked red with all of his precious blood that was spilt over. Breathing hard, every time he breathed, it probably just, so much pain and agony. But here this man, this 33-year-old Jewish man, says these remarkable words. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those words were so anointed and so powerful that a man that was a sinner, he probably thought, as Jesus, I'm the sinner. There's Jesus. There's the other criminal. As the one on his right, that was a sinner all his life, I gather, here's the words of Jesus. The one on the left begins to revile Jesus. The one on the right says, to the one on the left, me and you are up here because we deserve to be. But this man, he's not worthy of death. He doesn't deserve this. What caused the change on the criminal on the right to feel the way that he felt if he was a criminal his whole life? The actions of Jesus Christ. See, we spend years, and rightly so, praying for our loved ones. But how many times have we not showed our butt off in front of the loved ones that we're praying for? Here we can pray for somebody for 20 or 30 years. Jesus, 3 or 4 or 5 feet from a man he doesn't even know that's been a sinner all his life, all of a sudden this man that doesn't know Jesus, hears Jesus say a few words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All of a sudden he says, oh my God, this man, he was the Son of God. What takes us 30 years to do, Jesus did it in a matter of hours because of his conduct in God. This man said, my God, this man is in pain and agony, bleeding half to death, but he didn't even offer up a complaint. Truly, you are the Son of God. The man says to Jesus, I'm going to go there real quick. Stay with me. You're doing real good tonight. This is basic, basic teaching, guys. I want to share word for word the words of this man. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. They were talking to each other, the criminals on the left, the criminal on the right. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Now he's talking about Jesus, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then the one on the right said, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What takes us years to do, if we lived right in front of society, they would flock into the kingdom of God. But we have too many good days and bad days as modern day Christians. Amen? We have too many bad days. Shut up, Alex. We have too many bad days. Just have way too many bad days. Oh, Brother Homer, I'm not perfect. I know. I know. Brother Homer, you're not perfect either. I know. In cap lock, capital letters, I know. But if we conducted ourselves according to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, people would flock into the kingdom. In the book of Acts, the Bible said that God added to the church daily. Do you know why God added to the church daily? Because the people had one common mind. They were in one accord. See, we can't even get along inside the body of Christ. If we can't get along with each other here, God's never going to give us the center. But they were in one accord in the book of Acts, with one mind. They walked in the mind of Christ. And God said, boys, I see your unity. I see the love that you have for each other. I'm going to give you some more because I know that you can disciple them. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of this world. It wasn't just a Bible verse. It was a lifestyle. To those that crucified him and killed him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Those words did something to the criminal on the right of Jesus. He said, oh my God. Can you imagine what that criminal felt when Jesus said that? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. My God, you are the King of the Jews. You are the Messiah. Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Pain and agony. Assuredly, today you will be with me in paradise. The actions of Jesus Christ won that man over. Jesus Christ is our perfect example. He is our perfect prototype. The more and more I read the Gospels, the more and more I see the little things that are insignificant according to the church. There's so much meat in there that I've yet to see and comprehend through the Holy Spirit, but it's coming. But Jesus Christ is our perfect example. It is never, ever, never, ever, ever, never, ever, never, ever, 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 ever anybody's fault. Never. But my wife burnt the biscuits. I'm not accusing my wife. But she burns them. Honey, I don't eat that much fast food anymore. I really cut back a lot from Burger King and McDonald's. I eat at Wendy's now. Anyway, I'll cut back. Really, I don't eat that much fast food. Honey, I'm tired right now. I'm almost done, for real. First closing, honey, I'm going to judge myself. I'm going to judge myself. Go down to Burger King, get a Whopper, extra cheese, extra pickles.
Okay.
Write it down so you won't forget.
I won't forget.
Okay. My honey goes to Burger King, 2 blocks down the house. Get my Whopper out. Got no onions, no pickles, no lettuce, tomatoes. Where's my stuff? Well, you said no cheese. No, I said cheese and onions. I said cheese and onions. For some reason, throughout the last 22 years, she forgets. She forgets. And guess what it does to me? It makes me mad. Take it back. I'm not going to eat it. Take it back. I don't want it. Then I come back a few minutes later and I eat it. See, that's some childish stuff. That's child. That's, that shouldn't even be. It's nothing. But we don't know who we are yet in Christ Jesus. We don't know who we are. But we're getting there. But even me not knowing who I am in Him, yet I still have no spiritual right for that to even bother me one bit. It's a non-issue, man. Patience. But it's coming. Just because I don't have much patience doesn't mean that I have the right to get mad. That just means I'm foolish. Those are things that I struggle with. You got your things that you struggle with. Some of you have pride, lust, in a broad sense. I don't know. That's between you and God. And somehow we feel that we're entitled to that. We're not. We're called to live a holy, undefiled life, according to 1 Peter. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. We're called to make a difference in society like Jesus did by how He lived. He took one home with Him till the last breath that He took. A man that was a criminal came to the kingdom of God through the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. He's looking for me and you to walk with authority and with so much love that somebody will be able to say, my God, that Robert, that Harry, that Ashton, oh my God, they got a joy about them. I know what Ashton's going through. I know what Robert's going through. They're immovable. All they talk about is this man named Jesus. Look at him. Look at the peace. There's something that's radiant on her. Look at Mrs. Gay. Oh, my God. All she does is she won't shut up. All she keeps doing is talking about Jesus. That's what he's looking for. Not a people that talk much, but a people that live much. Jesus said, be holy for I am holy. Even to the last breath that he took one home to the kingdom. And you know what? He wasn't even preaching. His lifestyle, his love, his mercy and compassion drew that sinner into the kingdom. When's the last time me and you won somebody over by not saying nothing? On the contrary, we say something and still can't get them in. Pray for 30 years. Oh, God, I don't say he's saved. But the one that you say is saved is the same one you ripped yesterday. Right or wrong? If I had a wife that wasn't saved and I'm almost done again, a wife that wasn't saved and I'm praying for her, and I'm getting mad at her because she messes up my Burger King order, and I'm praying for her. See the point I'm making? But what about if she messes up my Burger King order and I go to her? That's okay. I still love you. I don't like onions anyway. Makes my breath stink when I want to give you a smooch, baby. What's that mean when I do that? Who said that? Your horse said, he's right, I do that all the time. Not this time, though. Almost done. I heard through the grapevine, I ain't one to gossip. Somebody took one of my friends some lunch to work. I ain't one to gossip. One thing you don't do is take food to our place of employment and leave it on your desk. Don't do it. Because it will disappear into the unknown abyss. Now I heard, I ain't gonna say no names because I ain't one to gossip. But somebody told me in the office that I work, well, Alex got mad because he ate a sandwich. I don't care. They're gone. He can't do nothing about it. I heard you honestly got mad because I tasted his sandwich. Okay, I ate one and I bit the other. They said, well, you know, he got mad. I don't care. I could care less. I took his piece because I took his sandwich from him. He had two. I ate one and bit the other just so he knew that I was there. And he got mad at me. I don't care. I was full. Point I'm making is we can't get over that was comical. We can't get over the little things in life. If we're ever going to win over a perverted, dark society, we got to walk in the image of Jesus Christ, man. This mind has to be, how's your fingers? Who cares? If we're ever going to win over this world, Mr. Harry and Robert, they must see Jesus in us. Which is a growing process because the Bible says that Jesus grew in stature and wisdom. If he grew, we must grow too. But we do not have to make fools of ourselves in our walk with God. There's a lot of things. We have power over every circumstance. We have power over every lust. Why? Just because we're born again. Amen. So the next time your wife or your husband messes up your order, doesn't matter, because I love you. The next time your son's 10 minutes late from curfew at 6 o'clock, don't get mad. The next time your son strikes out, don't get mad. It's a non-issue. The next time your wife burns a biscuit Sunday morning before church, don't get mad. It's just a biscuit. Go buy her a sandwich. There's so many little things that bother the modern day church that it's ridiculous. Right or wrong? It's ridiculous. Amen. Basic teachings, very simple, but nonetheless, it is the mind of Christ. Even to his last breath, he took one home with him. Not by a one-hour sermon, but by his lifestyle. That's what we're after. Amen. Read the Gospels. If the Lord lays it on your heart, if you feel that that's where he's called you to pasture at, read them slowly. Matthew, Mark. Now I've added Acts to my reading. Because there's something that we're missing. Because the Lord added to the church daily over there. Here, Satan is taking away daily from the church. Somewhere we're missing it. I know where we're missing it at. We're not of one mind, of one accord. We're not. They broke bread together. Listen to this, and I'm done. And I'm not saying this in a mean way, Lord. Do you know why I know that we're quite not ready for a revival? Yet it might seem like a contradiction to what our confession is, and it's really not. But do you know why I know we're not as close to revival as we think we are? And this is basic. Listen to this, and I'm done. This is basic, basic. The Bible says in the book of Acts that they were daily in the temple at the time of prayer. The revivalists were daily, daily in the temple at the time of prayer. They had three people in this world. You got a Christian that thinks church is not important. A. Second Christian, B, goes to church a lot because that is his righteousness. In other words, he doesn't pray, he doesn't seek God, but going to church makes him feel better. C, a Christian that goes to church because he loves being there. Now, if we can't handle as a modern day church three services, four services a week, and they were in the temple daily at the time of prayer, they did it because they love God so much. If three or four services a week is a burden to me and you, something's wrong. But if our heart's desire is no matter what happens, no matter how tired I am, Lord, and I'm tired sometimes, Lord, I'm going to go worship you and hear your word and be so edified. When, until that is the love of our heart, then we know we're getting there. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, let's judge our actions according to the word. They went daily into the temple, and it was their honor to go magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. The modern day church will find any single childish reason not to attend church, right or wrong. Been there, done that. Been there and done that. But there's something growing inside of me that I desire to be with my brothers and my sisters. And it's me going to the Gospels. I ain't gonna lie now, last statement. I ain't gonna be a hypocrite. I was in church today, and my son was trying out for a prestigious AAU baseball team. And I ain't lying, I was hearing Pastor Brown, but I was thinking about my son too, trying out for that team. I ain't gonna lie. God, I hope he makes a team. 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 Pastor, we got done at 11:45. What you think I did when he was done? Did you make it? But the day's coming where I'm going to love God more than my kids, more than my wife. I'm going to love him more than the air that I breathe. He's called me to deny ourselves daily and to take up our cross. I can't see it right now, but I'm getting closer and closer right along with you. Amen. They were in the temple daily. Todos los días. How you say it in Creole? Oblasu kudubu dakaso. Sung. Okay, I said the last word wrong. Oblasu kudukatu sung. Sakwase napule meble maje. I'll knock your brother out, right, Renee. Poke that man in the eyes. Guys, come with me on this journey. It's a simple journey. Hold on, Oralia. Whoever. These 66 love books can change your mind forever. Spend the night with Jesus, man. Change yourself from the inside out. Let your mind be renewed with his lifestyle. Come with me on this journey. Come with me on this journey and find out that you have authority in the name of Jesus. I believe those of you that are here about the only ones that are going to keep coming to this church for a while, because I believe only the serious ones are here. I really believe that. We've had the biggest youth group in this town by far. But you know what? It never really excited me because I knew that what we had was not going to be here for long. But now we got kids that are hungry. Just come with me on this journey. I'm not after numbers. If we were after numbers, I'd have a basketball, go out there and have pizza every week. Though we could still have that. Don't get me wrong. I still eat. But I can't keep you with a pizza. I can't keep you with pin the tail on the donkey. I can't keep you with secular music. I can't keep you like that. But I'll know you're hungry for God when you come in here week in and week out and you hear the holy, undefiled word of God. If I can keep you with that, then you're going to make some noise for the kingdom. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Brother Elijah. Hallelujah. He's blushing. Hallelujah, Brother Quentin. See, my brother said hallelujah. 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 Yeah, eat your sandwich. So what? Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Thank you so much for your support, Miss Barbara, Miss Gay, the McClendon brothers. I lost all respect for Robert. I couldn't play no more. My fingers went numb. After 5 minutes, Robert? 5 minutes? That's a stud there. Go ahead and stop. Stop. I love you guys with all my heart. Let's get together and fellowship in God. Alex has prayer 3 days a week from 7:30 to 8:30. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays.